King David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you only have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again." Isn't that a great verse? Give me back my joy again. "You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and then I will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." The word of God for the people of God.
All right.
Yeah, I tried to explain in the first service kind of what I was feeling. And I'm kind of reconciling it in my mind now a little bit. We had talked a little earlier of the fact that my son-in-law's father passed away quickly, massive heart attack, on a cruise ship Friday night, late Friday night. How do you process that, you know? How do you process that? And this morning on the way up, I love that drive from Moon up here. I love it. Because it's just kind of me and God, and we sort of hash through stuff together. He keeps me on the straight and narrow. I went off and hit the rumble strip a little bit today, so I can't say the same thing about my driving necessarily. But he keeps me on the straight and narrow. He does. But I was asking the Lord about this today. So how God, am I going to reconcile my friend David? David was a friend of mine. I was his pastor. What's it been? Early 90s? I was his pastor. And I was my son-in-law's pastor. And I was that whole family's pastor. But I was David's pastor. David and I played softball together for many years on church teams until we sort of woke up and said that we're too old to do that. And we played football up until like last year with our sons. He has three sons, and I have one. And we played football with our sons at a big thing over at the Moon High School with a bunch of their friends and me and Dave. You know, because not very smart. And so we didn't do that last year, and we kind of made the vouched to each other that we would never do that again because it's not worth the pain the next day. Going to miss my friend David. So how do I reconcile that? I never had a chance really to say goodbye to him. My daughter said that David had been talking about death over the last couple of months, and no one was really quite sure why. Isn't that interesting? They never knew anything was wrong with his heart. He was in far better shape than me. Most of you are in far better shape than me. But he was in better shape than me. So how do I reconcile that with what the scripture is talking about today in Psalm 51. I think that I can reconcile that by saying what the scriptures say, what David said in the Psalms. He said, "My times are in thy hands." David was saying, "My life is in your hands. My moments and my days are in your hands. God knows how long we are to live here." So it almost goes one step beyond what I'm telling you here this morning in these 17 verses in Psalm 51 and in Psalm 139. It kind of goes beyond that. It goes into the very days of our lives, the very existence that we have. So what does God know about me? Well, remember this day when you got married? Some of you are saying it was the best day of my life. Some of you are saying it's the worst day of my life. And I am not going to ask you individually which that is. Thankfully, my wife isn't here because she can't answer that question. But it's either, you know, the best day ever or... But, you know, the question always comes to me. And even though I sit down with a couple before they get married and talk about their relationship, how much do you guys really know each other? Many folks today cohabitate. Is that the word? Cohabit. They live together for a while, right? I'm not sure what I think about that, by the way. I'm not sure if it works. Because you're still, there's a lot of stuff that you just don't know about each other. But I talk to couples, you know. Look, hey, you don't know what the future is going to hold. You guys know, and I showed you a couple of pictures, I think, maybe not of our wedding day, but I was thin and I had hair. Nobody ever dreamed that this would happen. Nobody. Nobody. What do we really know about each other? You know? As time goes by, you get to know each other really, really well, and you get to love each other in spite of things. In spite of gaining 70 pounds. That's amazing. I gotta go on a diet. 70 pounds since we got 36 years ago. Okay? Well, that's about 2 pounds a year. That's not bad. Well, we can do that. 70 pounds. But you learn to love one another, and you learn to learn more about each other as time goes by, but we'll never really know everything about each other. You see, this psalm that David wrote, Psalm 51, was David recognizing a very simple truth. That simple truth is, God, you know all. Everything. Everything. First thing he says, God knows that we're sinners. Verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5 of this chapter. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Psalm 51, it's a good psalm. Says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you only have I sinned," David said. "I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. Against you and you only have I sinned." God knows we're sinners. Interesting thing about Psalm 51, and I think we know this, was written by David not long after Nathan, the prophet, had confronted him about his sin with Bathsheba. A story of David as he's walking around his palace and taking in a beautiful day like today, and he looks over at the neighbor, and it's Bathsheba, and she is taking a bath on the roof. Not a very common experience for us today, is that? No. My neighbors are 80 years old. I'm glad there's a bathroom inside the house for such a thing. But David, walking around in the room innocently, looks over And immediately his heart begins to lust for her. Long story about Uriah, her husband, and how David had him killed, really. He was a military leader. David said, okay, the next battle, Uriah, I want you right front and center on the front line so Uriah could be killed. And he made sure that Uriah could be with his wife the evening, the night before they went into battle. Smart thinking. And he switched things around so that he could have Bathsheba. And he hid it from a lot of people. Very few people knew, I think. Hardly anybody. But Nathan knew because God told him. And this psalm was written not long after Nathan the prophet had come to David and had told him a story. And it was a hypothetical story. And David said, boy, that guy, what should happen to him? Well, that guy should be killed. The person in that story that was doing all that manipulating so he could get what he wants should be killed. And Nathan looked directly into the eyes of David and he said, you're the man. You're the man in this story. What do you think of that? How you like them apples? Caught. He was caught. So we're sinners. Secondly, God knows our every thought. God knows our every thought. Listen to the verses from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. I love this. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know my body. You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts. Even when I am far away. Boy, David didn't mess around when it came down to writing what he was really thinking. It's good. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it, David said. That's cool. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. And I thought Heather was the only one that could do that. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You know my thoughts. Of course, we all have pure thoughts every day, don't we? All of us, right? Anybody in here not have pure thoughts every day? Anybody in here not go through the day without having pure thoughts about that person at work that you just want to pull your hair out trying to deal with them? Or your children or your husband or your wife or whatever it is? Anybody here have perfect thoughts every day, all day? You're excused if there's the door. No, God says through David, I know your thoughts. I know what you're thinking. Before you even say the words, I know what you're thinking. Wow. Wow. Seriously? Scary business. Scary, scary business. Goes farther on in Psalm 139. He says that he knows every step and every day of our lives. Listen to these words, verses 7 through 12. I can never escape from your spirit, David said. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, and if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. That's an important phrase, and your strength will support me. God knows your thoughts, he knows your every step, and he knows you're not perfect. But he says, even there, even in the midst of all that, I'm there to support you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. I was just thinking about, just crossed my mind about those goggles, night vision goggles. Military use them and you can use them now. You can find them. Night visions. Yeah, the night's not the night to God. He can see everything. I'll bet you we wouldn't like each other if we knew every thought that each other has. I'll bet you, and I like being liked, mind you, but I'll bet you if you could read my mind, I bet you'd kind of say, can we get a different pastor? I'll bet you. It's not like I, you know, go around and have horrible thoughts about you folks every day. But, you know, we all do. And here David says, you know, God, you know my every step. My every step. Everything that happens in my life, every day. It's incredible. And last, he knows the cure for our sinfulness and for our despair. Listen to verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow. Search me, O God. That's the cure. You're not going to hide from him anyway. You're not. He knows your thought. He knows your life. And he loves you. Again, you know, if I knew every thought that every person in here had, it would really affect my relationship probably with you and vice versa. But God says, no, I know your thoughts. And I love you anyway. That's profound. That's profound. So, what does he want to do? He wants to create a clean heart within us and a new life. A clean heart and a new life. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit and a right spirit within me. That's what God wants to do. Well, we come here on Sunday mornings and we try to do our best, you know, to look good for everybody, to say the right things and do the right things in front of the people so that they don't think we're terrible, bad people. But there is somebody who knows what you're like and he loves you anyhow. It's pretty great. And he can change your heart. And he can change your life. And all it takes is just to say yes to him. That's all it takes. You don't have to go through some elaborate process, no hoops to jump through. You just have to ask him. Lord, will you come and live in my heart? Will you come and live in my life? Heavenly Father, will you come and live in me? Get me on a better journey, Lord, than the road I'm walking, because boy, the road I'm walking is just so dark. Will you walk with me? And he will. Simple. Simple. Father, we thank you today for the simple truth of your word, and it really is. It's an easy, easy road. Where we, Lord, just say yes to you whenever you come into our lives and you desire, Lord, you ask us to come in and live in us. And we, Lord, in turn ask you to come and dwell in our lives. You come in your fullness. You give us a clean heart and a new life. So different. So new. Lord, help us to do just that. You know, Jesus, I know, Father, I know, that by your Holy Spirit, you know every one of us in this room. May every one of us today, Lord, say yes to your Spirit and open up our lives so that you can clean us and make us new. Make that happen, Lord, I pray. We'll give you praise And all the people of God said, Amen.